Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Thursday, April the 10th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others on page 90, first paragraph. When you discover a prospect, reading through that one paragraph, ending with realizing they are dealing with a sick person, and the comments are on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 steps are Karen M.C., the 12 traditions, Kathy P., and the readers of the text are Shelley E., Kara L., and Chanel T. The share ID for Wednesday, April the 9th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,332. That's 22332. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, April the 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,334. That's 22324. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen M.C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. And I am Karen, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be reading, and I pass.
Yes, thank you very much, Karen M.C., and I will now ask Kathy P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Morning, Kathy P. from Oregon. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Excuse me. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy P. Let me see here. Here we go. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 90, the first paragraph, and it begins with when you discover a prospect, through one paragraph ending realizing they are dealing with a sick person. And the comments are on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 90, first paragraph. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing that they are dealing with a sick person. Thank you for letting me do service. When I have sponsees who are first starting to sponsor, this is one of the paragraphs that I direct them to, because as we're first starting to sponsor, we're so anxious to get somebody that we are afraid, we can have a fear of either letting someone go or disappointing something. We take on too much, in other words. And so I'll have sponsees that will say, you know, I just don't think this is going to work. And so I'll direct them to this. You may spoil a later opportunity. I think it's a very important point in that if it's not a good match, if it's affecting my serenity, if the person's just not quite there yet, what I don't want to do is spoil a future opportunity for them. I have written in the side here, no frothy emotional appeal. And that's just to remind myself that I can't care more about someone else's recovery than they do, or wish it more for them. It's important that they be desperate at that point, just like I was. And when they are, I have certain things that I do that worked for me. And I call them my non-negotiables. Pretty sure most people call them that. I do not change the way or adapt the way I sponsor for someone else, just because I know what worked for me. And sometimes that doesn't work for someone else. And that's great. There's so many other of us that can do that. I don't know that I've ever fired, quote unquote, anybody, but I've certainly had people that have figured out I'm not for them. I don't require anything more than what's in the big book, except for one thing, and that is that they make phone calls. And those phone calls to me are very important for them, because when they get to step 10, they're going to be making a lot of phone calls. So I explain to them that's the only reason I do have them ask them to do that. The other thing I would say is that, I can't allow a sponsee to destroy my serenity, but also I also always tell a prospect that I am a liar and a cheat, or have a past of being so. And we've all had shit. We've all had bullshit. We've all been through the ringer. And so, never bullshit a bullshitter. And we all have life, and we all have to go through life with our program. And so when someone says, I just can't do that because, then I say, I understand that. I've been there. I've done that. But we have to go forward, and we have to live life with the big book as things happen to us. This does not promise us a perfect bed of roses. So I had one other thing I was going to say, but I can't remember what it is. It must not have been too important. Anyway, I look forward to what everyone has to say, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
You're welcome. Thank you, Shelley E., for getting us started. Okay, so we're on page 90, the first paragraph. When you discover a prospect, it ends with realizing they are dealing with a sick person. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Malta S.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Sue L.
Linda G. Linda G. Who was that?
Sue L.
Sue, gotcha.
Susan C., Pennsylvania.
Susan C., okay, gotcha, Susan. So I have Malka S., Linda G., Sue L., and Susan C. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Nancy L. J., California.
Gotcha, Nancy.
Wendy M.
Okay, Wendy. All right, I think we'll go with that lineup. Malka S., Linda G., Sue L., Susan C., Nancy LJ, and Wendy M. Everyone else mute your phone except for Malka. Good morning, Malka.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. Malka S., recovered compulsive overeater and living in central Mexico. So grateful to be here. One of the things that came up for me in this paragraph was the last line of we're dealing with a sick person. And I think that point has really only started to sink in for me, that I am a sick person. and I guess the reason that feels really important is because it's very easy for me to become complacent when I've been following my food plan, I've been abstinent, I've been working my program. It's very easy for me to just like one day say, I'm fine. Like, this is like, it's okay. I don't need to do that. It's fine. And that's actually like the addiction, the sickness talking, trying to talk me out of like the things that are healthy for me to do. So when I can see that in myself, I can kind of have a better understanding of like when I sponsor that, you know, other people like me, we have this like similar thread as compulsive overeaters, that people like me also have that. And to be tolerant and kind and understanding that, that, you know, this is what we're dealing with. So that's just something that came up for me. And yeah, I recently had an experience where I had to kind of come up with a list of those non-negotiables, and it was a very healing experience because it really put me, it really reminded me of all of the things that I want to do in my recovery that I can't require someone, I can't require a sponsee to do things that I'm not doing myself. Because this is a progressive disease, and because, you know, there's no cure, there's living in recovery, there's no cure, I have to be doing these things on a daily basis myself as well. So that's kind of something that I'm really working on, and I'm really striving for progress, not perfection. Yeah, so that's all I have to share today. I hope everyone has a great day. I'll pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Malka S. from Central Mexico. Up next is Linda G., followed by Sue L. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda G., a recovering bulimic anorexic and compulsive overeater in Alabama. This paragraph is especially meaningful to me. It reminds me as, I don't mean to crosstalk, but as the previous speaker said, that I am also a sick person and that I have to guard my recovery. And it reminds me to be patient and giving with my sponsees. I have had several sponsees who have dropped off because they're not willing to give up their sickness. And it's been sad for me because I so want to be able to help them in their recovery. And I have had to just accept that they are where they are and not try to force any issue with them, but just give them the space to do what they need to do and pray that maybe later down the line they gain the willingness to recover again. And that's been hard because I don't want to give up on people, but I've learned that at times I have to give in and accept that people aren't ready when they think they are. Sometimes when the rubber meets the road, they fall back and prefer to go back into their illness rather than do the tough work that's ahead of them. This program is a simple program, but it's not an easy one. And it takes a lot of willingness to see it through. And not all people have it at all times. And sometimes you just have to accept where people are and be patient with them and their process. And that's what I'm learning. And that's what this paragraph reminds me of, that not all people are in the right place at the time you want them to be there.
Fine.
Thank you very much. That's what I have to share, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share it, and I pass. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Linda. Linda G. from Alabama. Up next is Sue L., followed by Susan C. Good morning, Sue.
Hi, this is Sue L. in Washington, compulsive overeater. This is the first time that I've spoke on this call. I've been listening for about 7 months. I was also working with a sponsor that was helping me through the steps, and I was struggling to be honest with her, feeling like I was letting her down if I, you know, wasn't following all of the things that she was suggesting. And yesterday we decided that I probably need a new sponsor. So, and I really love her, and I don't know. But I know today that, you know, this is a perfect paragraph because I'm that sick person and I want to have recovery, and this is a fatal progressive disease, and I feel that in my body. I know that is a truth. And my mind, I can't trust my mind. But I know that I'm talking to somebody about possibly sponsoring me, and I am at the bottom. Like I wasn't willing to talk on the phone here because I felt like I didn't have anything to say. But it feels good to be able to step up and step into the group. Yeah, I'm just praying really hard to my higher power to help me because I'm this sick person. You know, I don't know. I feel like I want this more than anything, to be able to have the peace. I've had it on and off. I've had glimpses of connection to a higher power. My disease is really strong. So I'm just going to keep coming back and trusting my higher power that I can find a sponsor that will be willing to go through the steps with me again and help me so that I can be of service. I think that this is the first time I've realized that I have something to share to somebody else someday, because I know what it's like to be that sick person and need somebody to take my hand. So thanks a lot, Mo, for your service and everybody else that's here today making this happen. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, Sue L., and keep coming back. Up next is Susan C., followed by Nancy L. J. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, Susan C. from Pennsylvania. And I remember I was at a farmer's market, and I was talking to some lady there. I don't know how we got on the conversation. It was about, I don't know, food or sugar or something like that. And I said, oh, I go to meetings. And it was like, ooh, she backed off, you know, like she just didn't want to hear it. And I thought, you know, I have to let that go. What am I going to do? And I think when I remember I first started going to meetings, I was going to support someone in my life. And I just sat in the back. I didn't think I had a problem. And meanwhile, I was binging and purging. And somebody came up to me and very gently said to me, oh, are you a food addict? And I thought, oh, yes. And that was it, you know, and that was like the beginning. But I was surrounded all that those months, maybe 6 months, in the meeting, just, you know, it was coming in, it was being soaked up. And so I didn't, you know, I've tried to help people, you know, and they sometimes they stay, sometimes they run away, scared, I think. And I think the biggest challenge for me is not only recognizing my own illness, but also dealing with family who I believe have issues with that. And they just didn't want it. One person did, and went on her journey, and now she's not in good shape. And I mentioned something to her, and she was very upset about it. So, you know, I felt like that's it. I just can't like, you know, like give hints or say this or that or what I do or nothing. You know, I'm like, I'm just being quiet. But it's, I think for me, it's frustrating when you deal with people in the rooms or not in the rooms, but with family, like it just is a different thing for me. And, you know, I'm praying that I'm led to be able to help them in some way or the other, you know, and they became ill. This was past year. It's been really challenging for them. And, so I guess you have to be mindful. You can spread the word or you can, you know, be the message. You know, people see you or how your life changes, you know, to do that. So I think that takes a lot of, how can I say it? Just being, you know, polite and gentle with people or encouraging and, you know, meeting people where they are and asking higher power. Thank you. Asking higher power, you know, what do I need to do? So thank you.
Well, thank you, Susan C. from Pennsylvania. And for those of you just getting on the line, we're on page 90, first paragraph. When you discover a prospect and it ends with realizing they are dealing with a sick person. And after the next two shares, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Nancy. Nancy LJ.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, newcomers or those of you struggling, man. Just keep calling back. Keep coming back. There's a miracle for you. I am so grateful I'm not the television evangelist of OA anymore. That's how I was in the beginning. 14 years ago, I was like, it was nuts. And slowly but surely, as I've gotten the clue that if someone's not ready, they're not ready. But I'm one of these that has to be pounded on the head with a hammer. It's not just gentle, like, oh, okay, well, I'm noticing this. It's like, you know, come on into OA. Let me give you my phone number. Do you want a sponsor? You know, I remember this poor lady at church years ago who was quite overweight. And I'm not going to say I forced her into going to a convention, but I sort of did. And she didn't engage in the program. Oh, my gosh. I ended up making amends to her, you know. Anyway, so back on track here. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You know, that's not even kind, it's not a kind thing to do. My brother is alcoholic. He's 7 years old. He's never been in recovery that I know of. And he was hospitalized close to death with esophageal varices, you know, bleeding out in his esophagus. And instead of sending him a card, well, you know, I was on the phone with him, but instead of sending him a card when he got home, I sent him a big book. Come on, man. Come on. So happy to say that I'm not on that page anymore. And I just am so much more relaxed and I listen to people. And I know that just because someone has more pounds on them does not mean they're an overeater, compulsive overeater. And I love what Harlan said. I'm sure I'm going to mess this up, but if someone wants to recover, Minnie Mouse could sponsor them and they will recover. And if someone doesn't and they're not ready, Bill W. could sponsor them and they're not going to recover. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so true. And I know what it has been for me in this latest abstinence of almost 2.5 years. What a miracle. And this program makes me a kinder person. And what more could I ask for? I just want to show up with love. And this book this design for living allows me to do that, my higher power. So thank you all. I'm Nancy LJ in California, and I love outreach calls. Thank you, Mom.
Hey. Yeah, thank you, Nancy LJ. And up next is Wendy M., and then I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service always. Wendy, I'm an overeater in Boulder, Colorado. I love that last share. Thank you, God. All the shares have been great. So what comes up for me in this paragraph is, first of all, we're dealing with a relationship. And I ate over relationships, right? So of course I'm going to get all messed up in my head when I'm working with a sponsee, right? Like, so 25 years ago, if somebody said they don't want what I have, you know, sponsee's going to keep eating, I probably kept eating with them. That's how sick I was. And also, why don't you want what I have, right? So I took it personally, just like I take relationships personally. It says on, I think, 125, we're a sensitive lot. So what's going on here? What's going on is I don't persuade anybody about anything. The disease will persuade you. And absolutely, that was my case. There was nothing anybody could say. The disease is the great persuader. I'm not in the convincing game. I thought I was as a sponsor in the beginning. Not in the convincing game. And I don't get to exert more, page 62, right? Like, if I just exert more, they'll put the food down, I'm sure of it. This has nothing to do with Wendy, right? If I hold on to somebody who's eating, that's just a selfish act on my part. I make it for me, right? So the greatest gift I can give someone is that they have an opportunity to have the gift of desperation, right? The gift of, oh, my God, I have to wait till I'm desperate. And it says here, don't waste time trying. That's it. Don't waste time, right? There's so many other people who are desperate to work with you. And there's no need to waste time. Plus, it spoils their opportunity of getting desperate, right? So this book is so brilliant, and it's so divinely. And really, what is this about? Setting boundaries. Again, relationships. I learned more than anything in the world sponsoring about relationships, about relating, right? Because that's what I was eating over. So I just want to say that it's brilliant. This is brilliant. And it's not just for the eating, although, yes, of course, this is about sponsoring. It's about so much greater. It's about God showing us, how do I treat people? Am I going to be selfish and self-centered and make it about me? Or do I really care about that other person, care so much that I'm going to be directly honest with them in a kind and loving way? And that's it. Thanks. I'm going to pass. Thanks, Mo.
Hey, very much. Thank you very much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 90, the first paragraph, when you discover a prospect, and it ends with realizing they are dealing with a sick person?
Laura W., South Jersey.
Laura W.?
Virginia N. in Virginia.
Virginia N. in Virginia. Gotcha.
Freya H.
Freya H. I got Laura W., Virginia N., and Freya H. Anyone else in this lineup? Okay, we'll go with these three. Laura, you're first. Everyone else, please mute your phone. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This really hits home for me. I've been on the meeting every day for many, many, many years. I haven't shared in a while, but I'm dealing with an 18-year-old daughter with severe anorexia for the last 4.5 years. And by God's grace, I've maintained my abstinence and my recovery through this. And you know, if he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. This is so hard for me when it's my child. It is so hard for me. It's easy with sponsors, with sponsees. If they're not ready, they're not ready. And I firmly have over the years been okay with that. And, you know, I've noticed that, you know, a lot of people want to sponsor, but not a lot of people want to be sponsored, if you know what I mean. Like, they don't want to do the work. They don't want to, biggest thing is they don't want to put the food down. If they're anorexic, they don't want to start eating what their dietitian tells them. If they're overeaters, they don't want to put the food down. And it's like, when it comes to a family member, it is so, so difficult to keep my mouth shut. And, you know, she's been in the hospital twice in the last 7 days, and she's home now. And, you know, it's the medical complications that come from this disease are unbelievable. You know, like I just, it doesn't work, you know, and I keep saying to my daughter, you know, how's it working for you? Like, it's not doing anything for you anymore. It's just doing things to you. And I just have to pray. My sponsor told me yesterday that to shut up. She's like, just shut up. If she eats, shut up. If she doesn't eat, shut up. Don't say a word about it. And this is really difficult. And I'm trying to understand that she is a sick person, because she is me. She's just me unrecovered. And I'm grateful for that reminder. And this is such an important paragraph, because the only way that we recover is by carrying the message. And when we carry the message, we work with others. So, you know, somebody once said sponsor means sober person offering newcomer steps of recovery. And that's all I can offer somebody, are the steps of recovery. I can't make anybody do anything. So understanding the person, I think, is the most important thing. And I don't want to spoil an opportunity later. I'd love for somebody to come to me later and ask me for help. So thank you for thanks for being here, everybody. I pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Laura W. Let's go out to you. Virginia N., followed by Freya H. Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning. This is Virginia N. from Southwest Virginia. Thank you for your service. I listened to the earlier meeting, and then I've been listening to most of this, and I had a lot of things going on in my head about it. And I know in the beginning, when I was able to sponsor, I got really pushy, and I'm here to tell you that never ever worked for me. And then I stepped back, and I have to remember that I'm dealing with a sick person. No one comes in here because they're well. And other times when I've been in a position to have the opportunity to sponsor, I don't give up on people. I came in here so beaten up that if I was rejected, I think that would just be, oh no, another whatever, icing on the cake, no pun intended. And earlier when people tried to sponsor me, they didn't have to give up on me. I just stopped calling them, which is something I have to make amends about. And my living amends is I don't do that anymore. I'll be honest if I can't work it. But I always tell people that are struggling, and I've been trying to help them, is I gently just say, you know, maybe what I'm saying doesn't work for you, and maybe somebody else in the program could say something that would work. You know, I can only give my own experience, strength, and hope. And if that doesn't work for them, I just say, you know, this is all I have to offer because this is what worked for me. But maybe somebody else did the program in a different way or the steps, and then you might hear it differently. And yeah, and then to me, that's a more gentle way. And usually that kind of down the road, they go, yeah, maybe I need to try someone else. And it has worked. People came back and said yes, and they actually thanked me for what I was able to give them, but that it was someone else that really helped them. And when I was ready to I had to do everything my sponsor asked me, and that's how I got my recovery when I had it. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Virginia N. from Virginia. Up next is Freya H., and after Freya, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Freya.
Hi, Mo. Good morning. This is Freya H., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater bulimic restrictor. I'm in Colorado. Thanks, everybody, for the shares. Such a rich chapter. There's a reason why there's like an entire pretty long in-depth chapter about this topic. So I really like to put this in historical context. It says, when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous. And so imagine that there are no meetings. There is no well-known societal, norm that like, oh yeah, 12-step program, that's where you go. So for me, my situation is a little different. Usually when I discover prospects, it's in a meeting, it's through a meeting, and it's because I have put myself out there as an available sponsor, or we connected at a meeting, and that's how it comes up. So it helps me to think, to imagine what that was like for those early people, these people, that their prospects maybe had no idea. And so maybe there was some prejudice or some misunderstanding, but maybe there was also like a lack of prejudice because this was so brand new. I think that's kind of refreshing. So it says, if he doesn't want to stop, don't waste time trying to persuade them. So that I feel like is very clear. You are off the hook. My job is not, I love what someone said, like, I'm not in the convincing game. I'm not in the, the policing game. So that's one of the most important things that I want to determine when I'm finding out all I can about the person is what kind of program, quote unquote, are they interested in working? Are they looking for, I'll talk with people and they will have a very clear, oh yeah, this is what I did before. And so I just want to keep doing that. Or, they might have some ideas and expectations for this is the kind of program I want to work. And I used to shy away from the question, are you willing to go to any lengths? Because, that just seems too extreme. I can't ask that. But I find that more and more that is the question that needs to be asked. It needs to be considered, basically, are you at the place where you are ready and receptive to step one and all of its implications? Or are you still thinking that you need, that you can just kind of take what you like and leave the rest, or you have preconceptions about this is what it means to work a 12-step program and that other stuff, that's not for me. I have to come in here really, really open mind and just be willing to take direction. And especially when I don't like something, rather than just, balking and not wanting to do it, I get to look at what is this bringing up for me that I don't want to do this, because usually that's the stuff that is probably the most beneficial. And I'll stop there. Thank you so much.
Perfect, Freya. Thank you very much for your share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. When you discover a prospect, and it ends with realizing they are dealing with a sick person.
Sarah N. In Washington.
Mm-hmm. Washington State. Okay. Who else? Any other takers? Okay, Sarah, you got the floor. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo, and thank you to everyone on the line for all the beautiful shares. I just love waking up with you and this book and this paragraph. The things that jumped out at me, there's two spots that in my years in this program, having come and gone and worked with different people, are what really helped me was, get to know everything you about them. There it is. Find out all you can about the person. And I know, I need to feel like a relationship of trust with somebody, not just like, okay, what are you going to do? Like, do you want to get better? Like, let's go. It was like, the first thing is, I just want to be heard. I want to be seen. I need to build that, like, relationship of trust. And all throughout this, it talks about, you know, we share our experience with them. And so just having someone listen to me for a while, and let me just say whatever. I know, not like going on and on, but I think there's just a time of like getting to know each other before necessarily like jumping in was helpful to me. And the other thing that really jumps out is it reminds us that we should be patient. We should be patient, realizing we're dealing with a sick person. It's like, depending on this person, you know, when you go into the emergency room, and you're bleeding profusely or you're in extreme pain, it takes a while. I remember being in an emergency room, being there like 12 hours and then going through all kinds of tests and going through all kinds of things. It wasn't really until I was like in the actual like hospital room that I was medicated enough or calm enough to be able to really hear a doctor, and be able to talk about, what was going on with my body at that time. So patience and tolerance, these are like, keys to our program. And also saying the sick man's prayer before I start working with someone, that, to have deep, deep compassion for them. And I'll just wrap up saying, my mom was also a compulsive overeater, and I'll never forget, she was a lot heavier than me, and not that it matters, but she told me the first time she walked in the rooms, somebody said to her, there is no shame in this room. And she just started to cry. Mm-hmm. And that just is, there is no shame in this room. And we just come where you are, start where you are. And it's just our job as fellow compulsive eaters to help another fellow compulsive eater with deep compassion. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sarah N. from Washington State. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to take that?
This is Kate K.F. from Ontario, Canada.
Kate K.F., is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, I got you, Kate. Go ahead.
Hi. This is my second attempt at sharing at this meeting. Last week we had an ice storm and I got cut off during a share. I came into this program about 5 weeks ago and I got a sponsor. And I got sick with flu, and I got sick with Norwalk, and we had an ice storm. And I have remained abstinent throughout, and I am working my steps, and I am so grateful. I feel I'm 345 pounds right now. No, I'm sorry. I started off at 347 pounds, and I've lost a fair bit of weight, and it's not about the weight. I'm really sick. I am one of those really sick people. And I'm meeting with a surgeon on Friday about bariatric surgery, and I'm really at a crossroads right now. And I believe in this 12-step work. And I'm frightened, and I don't know if I can do it because I've never been able to do it in the past. But I do believe one step at a time, it is possible, and I have hope. And I'm so grateful for this in-depth study, paragraph by paragraph of the Big Book. It is such a rich meeting, and I thank all of you who contribute to its existence and all of the members who share. Pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Kate K.F. from Canada. Our hearts are with you. All right. Thank you all for your shares. and for this meeting, and we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I'm going to ask Kara L. to please read a vision for you. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.